This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, good morning and welcome to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. How are you this morning, Charlie Dobbin?
I am great. It's a beautiful, beautiful, crystal clear morning at my house here in Prince Edward County. But I just want to share with you my super happiness because Elliot and I spent like the last 10 days doing serious sweat labor, expanding a garden, opening up new areas, removing turf, digging trenches, putting in edging, moving plants. 4 yards of soil, 4 cubic yards of triple mix, another 4 cubic yards of mulch. All of it went out and we were just like dripping daily. And then magically we finished on Thursday and the rain fell Thursday night. And I am so happy. Everything is just perfectly in place. We definitely needed rain and it all happened. And we took yesterday off.
Good for you. Well, I got to tell you, after hearing that, I'm exhausted.
I'm telling you, we were both like, we are too old for this, getting up, because it was so hot some of those days, right? So we were getting up really early to try and avoid the heat of the day and eating popsicles every hour. Anyway, it's good. It's all good. You know,
good for you.
We don't have too much else on the go. I will just quickly share. Do you want to do the numbers?
Please.
And then I've got a couple of announcements.
Yeah. I can do the numbers. Yeah, for sure. If you live in Toronto, here's the number to use, 416-360-0740, or anywhere else in the province of Ontario, outside Toronto, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And please do let our producer, Ashy, know if you are a first-time caller, because I will give you your garden wings. Yeah, I'd love to do that. We want you to call often. We want you to call early. And please, this is an important one, one question per call, okay? Or I'll have to, you know, blow the horn and say, hey, no.
Yeah.
One question per call. Okay.
That's right.
And you have an announcement or two?
Yep. A couple of announcements. These are both events going on next weekend. So certainly if you are looking for getting out and seeing other gardens, Canada's biggest garden tour is happening, and it is a self-guided tour. It used to be called the Long Branch Garden Tour. It's now the Lakeshore West Garden Tour. So self-guided over 50 unique private gardens all in the southwest corner of Toronto. It's completely free. Member Paul Galatly joined us in studio a couple of weeks ago, the tattooed gardener. So he will be there doing a special speech, kicking off the tour at 9:10 a.m. at 4022nd Street next Saturday. So that's a busy day, 10 to 4. You got 50 gardens to get to. You can rent bikes along the way. You can grab lunch. You can chat with master gardeners. For more information, Lakeshore West GT.ca. So that's next Saturday. Next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the Royal Botanical Gardens, 680 Plains Road West in Burlington, the Hamilton and Burlington Rose Society is putting on a show. And if you like roses, this is one you're going to want to, you don't want to miss.
Yeah.
Because a couple of things. You get into the RBG, you pay admission to get in, but you have access to the beautifully renovated rose gardens. They were completely renovated about 6 or 7 years ago. So beautifully, beautifully laid out. But on Saturday, between 1:30 and 5, potted roses will be for sale. On Sunday, between 10 and 3 p.m. there's going to be talks on rose care. There's a rose show. So the blooms will be being sold at 3 p.m. on Sunday. So rose, you know, stems, floral designs, just all kinds of really cool stuff. So it's a rose event at the RBG next weekend.
Lovely. It sounds beautiful. Just beautiful. Okie doke. And what's the temperature, just before we go to break? What's the temperature in your neck of the woods, roughly? We're about 12 here in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Right now we're up to about 17.
Nice.
But we were down around 14 when I got up. So it's beautiful. Great working weather.
Yeah.
No reason to stay inside on a day like today. Weeds to pull, lawns to mow.
Lots to do. And if you have an indoor gardening question or an outdoor gardening question, give us a call. We will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the 15th of June already. My goodness, Father's Day weekend. So for all of you dads out there, happy Father's Day.
And, that's a good point, yeah. Happy Father's Day, Dean.
Thank you. And you know what? Dads all tomorrow. And you know what? Dads also like to get flowers on Father's Day. I mean, I think we don't think of that. We think of it more of as a Mother's Day thing, but it's okay to give your dad flowers or, you know.
You know what I used to give my dad for Father's Day? I'd give him a massage if I was really broke, or I would give him a plant, but never a flower. I'd give him like a cactus.
Sure. Yeah.
Something that required no care.
Gotcha. You know, and I would like a plant. There's certain plants that I love or that I don't have in the garden yet, but I just have to be careful. We remind ourselves sometimes not to create a monster that as we get older, we can't look after. So, right. You know. As far as the gardening. We're going to start off our show with a couple of first-time callers, first of which is Maggie calling from Bob Cajun. Welcome to the Garden Show, Maggie.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm going to give you your garden wings, okay? There you go.
Thanks
for being a first-time caller. What do you got for Charlie there?
I got a plumeria stem about 5 years ago, and now it's about 3 feet with about 5 branches on it. Lots of beautiful leaves, but no flowers. I was wondering if I can give it a certain fertilizer to bring flowers on.
Okay, so you got it in a pot, obviously, inside the house, or do you put it out for the summer?
I do, yeah.
You put it outside?
The leaves. I put it outside for the summer, and I take it in for the winter and let it go dormant.
Right, which is, of course, what you have to do. So outside, do you have it in a fair amount of sun or dappled sun?
It's in the sun. Well,
good, because
sun and shade, but mostly sun.
Right, so it's a minimum of 6 hours of sun every day is what it should have. So bright sun, warm temperatures, obviously watering as necessary. Make sure, of course, that they are in a good, you got a good quality potting mix when you planted up the cane that you bought?
Yeah, the leaves are beautiful. And last year I did start to get stems on each one, but then it was the end of the season. And when I put it away for the winter, then those stems fell off. Are they going to come back again?
You know what? I have never grown plumeria. It's one of those things that I can't speak from experience, but I am just quickly looking on the web here. So I just, let's see, 1 to 3 years for cuttings to bloom, and then 3 or more years for plants to grow from seed. So it isn't a very fast happening, maturing plant. Main thing I think is keep doing what you're doing. If the leaves are lovely, do fertilize it once a month, with a, you know, not too much fertilizer.
Pardon? So is there any special fertilizer for plumerias or anything like that?
No, I would just use a regular blooming type fertilizer. It'll typically have a higher middle number, something like a 5-15-5 or 15-30-15, something that's got that, just a slightly higher middle number. And do what you're doing. Bright sun, not soggy soil, but never allow to truly dry out. And fingers crossed, it will bloom eventually. That much I can certainly say. And if I learn anything more, or maybe somebody who's listening has more experience with plumeria than me and wants to jump in with some tips on best care. So thank you. Don't hesitate to call anytime.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Maggie. Good day. I was Charlie, just looking at the pictures of the plumeria. That's a beautiful flower.
Yeah, it's a super tropical flower. So it's something that, anybody who was lived in the tropics or has history in the tropics loves to have as a something, a real reminder.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Special.
Going to give those numbers out again. We have lots of room on the lines. And so far, we've got first-time callers, which is really neat, actually, because obviously we love to hear from our longtime listeners and callers. But if you've never called before, maybe today is the Saturday, right, that you get on the phone and say, yeah, I'm going to ask a question. You know, don't be shy. And, Charlie, love to stump Charlie. Love to see her wheels turning just to see. It's fun for me.
Yeah, for you.
I love it. I just sit back and enjoy my coffee and watch Charlie. Give us a call. Again, the Toronto number is 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are back here on The Garden Show. And Charlie, and just giving you the heads up, we are going to be giving the garden wings a workout this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a few in the bank there. So let's go to our next one right now. We've got Gwen calling from Port Owen. And Gwen, welcome to The Garden Show.
Hi. Thank you. I've been getting up courage to phone you for many years.
Morning and welcome.
And I get to give you your garden wings. Okay, Gwen? There you go.
Thank you.
Okay. What do you got for Charlie?
I have been listening to 7:40 a.m. since Frank Proctor lived in St. Catharines and his wife Diane was still living. I have enjoyed 7:40. I don't know how many years that is, but it's a long time.
That's a long time.
Yes.
Yeah, that's actually when we started the show. Speaking of which, I think this might even be the day. This is like my 16th year anniversary of The Garden Show. Wow. And Frank and Di, and they lived in St. Catharines.
Yep. And Charlie, you know this, but I met Frank through Di because as an actor, I was directed 20 years ago by Di Proctor on stage. We got to know each other.
Yeah. And cool. I know all of you folks at 7:40 are animal lovers, which I am absolutely. And I absolutely love cats. And Frank had two cats in St. Catharines. And one, I think, was a Maine Coon. And somehow it had gotten out. I don't know if he ever did find it way back that time. So I never knew what happened.
I don't remember that he had one cat. When they moved to Toronto from St. Catharines, they brought a cat with them whose name is, I was going to say Tucker. No, I'll remember its name. But yeah, I think that cat died of grief when died.
Yeah. Aww.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah. I was on when he was on your show, what, about a month or something ago, and I really wanted to phone in. I thought, I've got to say hi to Frank, but I said...
Thanks for being a longtime listener.
Anyways,
what's going on in your garden?
I love your show, and I love the music on Big Band Sunday night from 7 o'clock right on, as long as I can. I love that old music because I'm an oldie.
Anyways, you don't sound very old.
Well, I'm 85, so if I don't sign, I don't actually, I guess, look it, so I'm told, but I'm energetic. I'm still in the country, in the house my husband and I built. I can't get into that. I can talk all day.
We're sitting here on pins and needles, Gwen, wondering what your question about gardening is.
I am. I have two beautiful snake plant pots. There's about nine. What do you call the, it's not a leaf. What do you call, it's a stem?
No, it's a leaf. If we're talking, snake plant is properly known as Sansevieria.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about the same plant, those are leaves. They really don't have stems.
No, okay. No. It's just the long, tall, beautiful green, and some have the yellow outside. But the both ones that I have, they've got at least nine leaves on each plant, and then there's a second plant growing with it, and the pots are only 6 inches, and they're only 5 inches deep. So I don't know. I've been very cautious watering, so I don't know exactly how much water I should do and how often.
Right. Well, you know what? That's the cool thing about snake plant or Sansevieria. They're very difficult to kill. I always used to joke to people, you know, that lived in basement apartments and that sort of thing. It was like, take this plant, put it in the back of your closet, close the door and leave it for a year. Look at it a year later and it's going to look exactly the same. Like, it's just such a tough plant and so easy to work with.
Wow.
What I would do, you've probably had these plants for quite a while, I think, haven't you?
Oh, no, I only bought, well, I've had them must be a couple months. Like I said, I've been wanting to phone in.
Right, so it's not like
my daughter's.
All right, so that's good.
Yeah, so they're doing okay. I'm very cautious with the water.
Yeah. Well, they don't have a very large root system, so you won't need to pot them into bigger pots until you start to see roots growing out the bottom. So you're probably good for a couple of years in those small pots. What I do with them is you can have them, generally I put them in like indirect light. So they'd be in an eastern window, for example, morning sun or you know, 5 feet away from a southern window, so not right in a sunny window. And then I let them dry right out. I water them, you know, even in that size pot, maybe once a month. But when I do water, I water thoroughly. I water so that, the saucer that the plant is sitting in, the water runs through the soil into the saucer, and then I leave it for 10 or 15 minutes. If there's any water still in the saucer at that point, I would dump it out. But it will absorb that and then just leave it alone until it dries right out again and water it again thoroughly. And depending on the temperature and the amount of sun you have it in, it could be every 2-3 weeks. It could be every 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah. Okay, because mine are in a sunroom and they're like with patio door, and I've got so many plants that are just they're doing beautiful. But these pots that are in, the inside pot is sitting in a pot that's right tight, so I'm going to have to put them in a little bigger outside pot so that they can have a saucer so I can see the water.
Exactly. You want to see what's going on.
Yeah.
So if that's what I don't like about what we call an overpot or a cash pot, if it's too tight and too, you know, kind of often very pretty, but you can't see what's going on. So if you can get it out of that overpot into something where you can see the water come through and see the water get absorbed, I think you'd probably be more confident of how often to water.
Yeah. Okay, that's very good. Thank you, Charlie. And I can feel what you felt about having all the work you and your husband did, and it rained. Didn't you say, thank you, God. Thank you so much.
Oh, did I ever. Did I ever. Oh, yeah, it was just perfect, because we tend to be on the dry side here, and I never complain
about rain.
North Port
Hope in the country, and, it's the same. When the rain comes, you're so thankful.
Oh, absolutely, because there's no sprinklers here, trust me.
Anyway.
Thanks, Gwen.
Thanks, Gwen. Don't be a stranger. Make sure you give us a call again, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, and have a good day.
You too.
Thanks, you too.
Okay, we're going to jump right to our next call. We have another first-time caller. We have Deborah on the line from Toronto. Welcome to the Garden Show, Deborah.
Thank you.
Okay, want to give you garden wings. There you go.
All right.
Okay. All right. Yeah. What do you got for Charlie there, Deborah?
Well, Charlie, last fall I bought a few bags of tulip bulbs, and I didn't get them all into the ground, unfortunately. So they have been residing in my refrigerator, and I'm just wondering if I should be hand feeding them to squirrels. Or can I plant them?
I want to tell you, Deborah, I'm just enjoying Charlie's ear-to-ear grin as she's talking about your tulips in the fridge.
It's the old under the bed, forgot about them kind of thing. So here's my question. If you go to your fridge and pull these tulips out right now, have they started to grow? Or like they're in a bag, I assume, a paper bag or something like that?
Yeah, they're in the bag that they came in with a little bit of netting and, paper.
Okay.
No, they haven't. Like, there's nothing green coming out, that's for sure.
Like, ooh, not even a little white shoots?
Maybe.
It wouldn't be green in your fridge. It'd be white.
No, that's right, of course. Not a lot, no. Some of them, but not all of them for sure.
Huh. So, You know, it depends. You had a spot obviously planned to plant them, like an area in your garden where it could plant them, like today if you wanted to. Have you got an open area where that's sunny?
Yep.
Okay. Honestly, if they are still firm, they're not mushy, there's no indication that they're wrinkled and dried up and lightweight and are dead, you know, if they have some heft to them, they feel like a, you know, an onion, they've got that solidity, I plant them. Yeah, you could just plant them in some pots if you want. If you're going into pots, you would just sink the tulips just under the surface of the potting soil, so their little noses are right on the surface, and water them, obviously, and you would have them outside, and believe it or not, they actually probably will grow. They may not flower, but they may flower because they've been in your fridge and they do love the cool conditions in order to set flowers. Or you could go into the ground. If you go into the ground, of course, you're going to plant them deeper. The bottom of the bulb is going to be at least set 2.5 to 3 times the height of the bulb. So if they're 2 inches tall, the bottom of the bulb is down at least 5 or 6 inches underground. And then just see what happens. Like I said, if there's heft to them and there's life in them, they'll grow. They're going to be very confused. If they flower, won't flower for long. And then next spring, they should come back if they're in the ground.
Okay. So if I do them, put them in the pots, I'll just leave them there for the summer and then plant them in the fall into the ground? Or is that...
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And let them, if you put them in pots, let them do their thing. Let them, you know, send up leaves, flowers, whatever they do, water them as necessary. Let them go through their cycle. Remember, it's a good 6 or 8 weeks before the leaves go from green to yellow, and then they are completely dormant.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll give it a shot. There's no downside, right?
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks very much, Deborah.
I think
the numbers to give us a call, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. Now, Charlie, I know that you will remember a couple of weeks ago, I think we had a run on, and you said it might have been a record. We had so many male callers on the line. At one point, we had the entire board filled with men calling in.
Yeah.
We usually have, you know, it's usually a mix of the both. And I got to tell you, this week could be a record for first-time callers because I have yet another one on the line.
Sweet.
And so, and another one coming up after that. So we're going to go to Donna now in Guelph. Welcome to the Garden Show, Donna.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to give you a garden wing.
Morning.
Yeah, they are busy. So what's on your brain? What do you got for Charlie there, Donna?
I got a question about the garlic. Mm-hmm. I'm planting the garlic a few years, and somebody went to the garlic and cut about 19 garlic about 2 or 3 inches above the ground. I just wonder what's going to happen. Just completely cut off.
So this just happened, like yesterday kind of thing?
About 2-3 weeks ago.
Okay, and have new green leaves started to push up to sprout?
Or maybe 1 or 2, the rest of them just sits the way they cut it. Somebody like went with the scissor and cut out, I don't know, maybe they thought it's an onion or something, I don't know.
You bring up a good point, because right now garlic is starting to flower or set its flowers, and we call them scapes. So now is the time to go out to your garlic field with your scissors and cut out the what looks like a pigtail. So it's a curly flower stem that is starting to form on garlic. And we generally don't want them to flower. We want to grow bulbs. We don't want to grow garlic flowers because they go to seed and you don't end up with much of a bulb. So what would you do? You know what I'd be inclined to do, Donna, would be to go and dig up one of the garlic where nothing has happened in the last couple of weeks, no growth at all. Dig it up and see what it looks like. See if it's changed or grown at all. It'll be undersized because we're still a good month away. But it might be better than just leaving it there, because if it's not doing any growing, it's been a couple of weeks. It may just rot in the ground, I guess, depending on the kind of moist, you know, how heavy your soil is. If it's a moist, heavy soil, the garlic may rot if it's not growing. That's my only concern.
Oh, I see. Then I should pull out?
Pull one up and see what you think. You know, if you're seeing growth, you're seeing a little bit of new green poking up from the actual, you know, ground level, then leave them alone and let them grow on for another, like I say, month or so. But if there's nothing going on, I'd be inclined to pull them up.
Okay. Maybe two or three start growing, but the rest of them just sits there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's unusual. So, yeah, do it. If they're not growing, try it. Like, pull one up. See what you think. Okay. If it's usable, you know, it'll be small. But if it's a usable garlic bulb, then go for it. Just pull up the ones that aren't growing. Hang them to dry, of course, because they get better when they cure for a couple of weeks out in air and no sun.
Yeah, okay. And can you use those tips pull out from the garlic?
Sure. Yes, of course. The scapes. Yeah.
Yes.
I cooked some up just last night with my dinner, or put them in a salad.
Like stir fry or something.
Pardon?
Stir fry or something. How do you use it?
Exactly. Stir fry, or cut really, really small, and they're just like garlic. They're green, like using garlic in anything you need, in a soup or a stew or a stir fry or anything.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, so garlic, yeah, I weave a little bit of that coming up in our garden as well. Mm-hmm. I was tempted to ask who would have come by and cut her garlic down. You know, I was trying to figure out what kind of a neighbor, and I wondered, I thought maybe somebody saw the scapes and decided to take them, but that would have been too early 2 weeks ago.
Well, and not to mention, there's such a difference between a scape and a leaf, but maybe, I mean, we didn't ask Donna, but maybe she's gardening in a community garden, you know, right, that where people have spaces butted up against each other's spaces or in an environment. Guelph is a pretty sharing kind of a community. So you never know, it might be a situation where somebody, they just kind of wander through each other's gardens and take what they want. Who knows? It's hard, you know, when you're looking, is that an onion? Is that a leek? Yeah. Is that garlic? Yep. Like, they all just look so similar at this time of year.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, and I mentioned that we have another first-time caller on the line, so I'm going to go to that right now. We have Joan calling from North York. Welcome to the Garden Show, Joan.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you your garden
wings. Yes, I have a question.
That's like we've got
record-breaking.
Our first five callers today have been first-time callers.
Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you. Yes, my friend has boxwood in front of her home, and she's really admits to not being a very knowledgeable gardener, and neither am I. I'm just a beginner. But I said to her, you know, your boxwoods look very dry to me. They should be a brighter green if they're, I said, I'm wondering if they're getting enough water. I told her about this moth issue, and it doesn't seem to be any damage that way. But these, there was even a clump of brown leaves on one plant. And so after I said that to her, her husband checked, and they rely on a sprinkler system, and the nozzles weren't working there. And so anyway, she said, oh, he got that fixed, and now he's going to have them sprinkled 3 times a week. But my question is that enough to help them, or should she do a really thorough watering?
Have you had it? Did you get any rain this past week in where you live?
Not very much at all.
Yeah, it was more north of Toronto that the big storms went through on Thursday night.
We didn't really get very much week.
Okay, yeah, so here's what I suggest. If the boxwood are crispy yellow, I'd look really closely for insects, webbing, evidence of blight. I'd clean them up if they're like, you know, I'd comb my fingers through if they're yellow leaves that are going to fall off. I would get them off. Do some trimming of the plant down to live wood. I would fertilize, not heavily, but just follow the instructions on an evergreen fertilizer, mixed with water, fertilize. And then you're right, do a deep, deep watering. So, you know, what does that mean? Put a sprinkler on for half an hour, 45 minutes, depending on the kind of soil they're in. If it's a In North York, you tend to have clay soil, so it holds the moisture for a long time. So it's not like a sandy area where the water just whishes right through. And so, you know, a good thorough watering. If they're just pale green, like they're green, but it's not a bright green or a deep green, then again, I would still use an evergreen type fertilizer on them. And yeah, trimming boxwood are typically pruned or trimmed or sheared around this time, you know, mid-June, because they've put on some new growth. They should be very bright green with that new growth. And now we shear them to shape them, to balance them out. And then that encourages more growth and more dense growth and better shape to the plant. But certainly fertilizing would be a priority for me if the plants are pale looking.
Yeah.
Okie doke.
Yes, that's great, because they're not yellow, but they're a very pale green.
Right. Yeah. And again, get them to look really closely. There's just between blights and boxwood tree moths, the boxwood are really taking a hit this year in the GTA.
Hmm. Okay. Oh, cool. I will pass all this information on. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for calling for your neighbor. Isn't that a nice thing to do?
Yeah. Very nice. And thanks for being a first-time caller as well. And don't be a stranger. Okay, we are going to take our next break. Is there something you want
to
add?
I was just going to quickly say, like to Joan, she could mention to her neighbor, they can listen to the show on their computer or their phone, whatever it is. It's called a podcast. You don't need an iPod for a podcast. You can just re-listen to the show by going to AM740 Podcasts, The Garden Show, and then pick today's date. The podcast is usually up and available by Tuesday, Wednesday at the latest after we do our broadcast.
Sweet. Okay, we'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show on this beautiful, clear Saturday morning. And I think it's just clear throughout the province, really. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful day. And as you say, a really conducive temperature for working outside as well.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's a big heat wave coming later.
Yes.
Like it'll be one of those you don't want to go outside situations. It's going to be so hot by, I think, Monday, Tuesday. But so grab today and grab tomorrow, because this is gorgeous, gorgeous weather to be outside.
Sweet. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have our run of first-time callers is done, but we had, my goodness, the whole first part of the show, five callers.
Wow.
But we're equally as excited to have Ellen on the line from Brantford. Welcome back to The Garden Show, Ellen.
Thank you. My question is about a peony bush. I planted one last year, and I knew I wouldn't get blooms last year. And this year I got a beautiful bloom, but all the other buds turned black and didn't do anything.
Okay, so peonies will do something. It's called bud blast when they don't open. So you planted it last year. You put it into a sunny location, full sun, right?
Well, I'm wondering if I have enough sun. It's partial shade.
Okay, so there's the thing. Peonies want a minimum of 6 hours of direct sun every day. They want a fertile, well-drained soil. Never want to be in a soggy spot where they're consistently wet. And the other thing that happens with peonies, though in your case this probably isn't what happened, when peonies fail to set buds, any flower buds at all, it's because they're planted too deep. Because we do plant peonies very shallow. We have the tuber, which kind of looks a bit like a potato, right almost at the surface, just barely below the surface of the soil when we plant them. And if we plant them too deep, we don't get any flowers at all. I wonder, could you move that, not now, but in the fall, move that plant to a more open, sunny location?
Yes, I could. I was under the impression that you can't move them. They're very fragile, but I will certainly give it a try in the fall.
It's a regular peony. It's not a tree peony, is it?
No, it's just a regular peony bush.
No, they're not fragile. You can do whatever you want to them in the fall.
Great.
I wouldn't do anything in the spring. But you can be pretty rough. Well, rough. You can lift. You can divide. You can transplant. You can do whatever you want to peonies in the fall.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Sweet. Right. Yeah, we've been just lately on our, we've been passing some really, really nice peonies lately. Mm-hmm. We have some in front of our house. Mm-hmm. But we've just been passing, even this morning, a really bunch of really good, strong, full peonies. A little bit different than what we have. Do you have any on your property?
I do. I posted one of my peony shot on Instagram and Facebook last week. I have a peony that's the color of red wine, basically. Mm. It's such a deep, deep red. It's beautiful. And it's got great stems. I mean, I have a big tomato cage just to help hold up because it's a big plant.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it holds itself up. And I am actually a big fan of the peonies that have fewer petals. The more petals that you have on your peony flowers, the heavier they are and the more they fall over. So you get back to the older pre-hybridizing of the peonies, simpler flowers, fewer petals, and they are much, much easier to enjoy because they do not fall over and they do not need to be individually staked.
Mm-hmm. We've never staked ours or caged them, but ours, I don't know, they do kind of fall over. It seems to be part of the characteristic of the plant a little bit, I suppose, but but I have to admit, the bunch that we passed this morning on our walk, that was my comment. They just seemed to be so strong and upright, and the bunch was so full, and it was really, really nice.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a great thing about walking the neighborhood. You get to peek in on other people's gardens. And you know what? It could be, you're right. It could just be the variety that they have planted. It also could be that maybe that with the peonies you saw at the neighbors were in more sun than yours. And when they're in more sun, they don't get as tall. Because remember, when they're not getting enough light, they tend to get taller and thinner and stragglier.
Right. Right, because they're reaching, right? They're reaching to try and get to that sun. Gotcha. Okay. We're going to reach to our next commercial break. How's that? we're there. And then we're going to come back with more right here on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, here we are back here on The Garden Show, and we're going to go right to our next caller who is calling from, I think I've mentioned it before, one of the most interesting towns, because I don't think they do it anymore, but in the middle of their intersection, in the middle of town, at Christmas time, they used to put a huge Christmas tree right in the middle of the intersection, from Dunville. Yes, please welcome Margaret to the show. Welcome to The Garden Show, Margaret.
Hi.
Morning.
Yeah. My question is, I have these dogwood, I think they're bushes, but they're like tree size. Mm-hmm. And it looks like on some of them, these bushes, they're half dead. Like this year, they didn't put out leaves or anything on their branches. And I was wondering, are they dead or is there something I can do?
Are they, when you're calling them dogwood, are they the ones with the red bark?
No, like these ones, they're like roof high. Like I think of them as tree height.
So you're sure they're dogwood?
Well, I did that thing with the app, took a picture and did a search, and it came up dogwood.
Oh, and there's a lot of different kinds of dogwood. Did you get any indication of what kind of dogwood?
No.
Okay, so bottom line. There's many dogwoods out there. Many of them we grow for their flowers. Others we grow for their bright red bark. And others are just native kind of twiggy, shrubby trees that blow in because birds drop seeds. Because dogwood do set little berries, typically little blackberries. When they get old, and this happens with any of the dogwood that we grow as shrubs typically, older stems will die and get crispy. Meanwhile, if there's life in the plant below in the roots, new little shoots will grow from below, from the bottom. So rejuvenating dogwood is very common. It happens in most situations where we have a bunch of dogwood growing, particularly the red osier, they're called, or the red barked dogwood. There's also golden bark, whatever. When it's new, fresh growth, it's this shiny, beautiful bark. your job or hiring a strong person to help you do this is to start a process with a chainsaw maybe, or at least good sharp saw, start cutting out the dead right at ground level and encourage fresh new to come from the bottom. So when you're taking out the dead, you are going to take out approximately one third of the dead stuff. It'll be the oldest probably stuff that'll just get cleanly cut out at ground level and open up the plant. Some air, some sun will get in and new growth should arrive. Top dressing with a nice composted manure will also encourage new growth. And that's assuming that you like these dogwoods and you want them to grow there for the future.
Yeah, because they shade our sunroom on the south side.
And is
so
that a good thing?
I kind of like them because it keeps it from getting quite so hot
right.
in the summer.
Yeah.
And even
opens
though
it up
these
in the
are
winter.
Taller than our sunroom roof,
mm-hmm. yeah.
they're still like
yeah, you
a
don't
bush,
want that because
they're
that old,
way.
They're out of proportion with your house by the sounds of it. So taking out, like I said, I don't know how many shrubs there are and how big a deal it would be, but there's no reason why you can't rejuvenate what's there to maintain that nice growth in the summer, but you know, encourage new growth to grow up to give you that those green leaves to provide that shade, and then of course you've got the leaves dropping in the fall, and the sun gets in all winter, which I'm sure you enjoy. So getting those plants rejuvenated is not a super hard thing to do. It's just it's removing the old first and encouraging new stuff next.
Well, I'll give that a try. It has worked with our other bushes because we have the previous owners liked natural bushes, and so
right.
we have quite He's a needed. Few dogwoods, and I've chopped a few of them back,
yeah.
and they've
yeah.
come back like crazy.
Exactly. So if it's dead stuff, like super, there's nothing growing on it, you can cut it out anytime. If it's old and no leaves except on the very top, then only take out about a third of those at any one time, because it is a bit shocking. We're getting into hot summer. You don't want to just go through with a chainsaw and cut it all down, because that could kill it as we go into the heat waves. But dead stuff you can take out at any time.
Okay, well, we'll start with the dead stuff and see what happens.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Margaret. Because we're limited in time, we're going to jump right to Maureen in North York. Welcome to the Garden Show, Maureen.
Good morning, Dean. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
Good morning. I follow you on Garden Solutions, and yes, that peony, that wine red peony, is absolutely totally gorgeous.
I know. I love it. Thank you.
Okay. Here's my question. I'll make it quick. I bought what I thought was a mandevilla, and then I got it home and looked at the tag carefully, and I actually have a Diplodenia. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's in a 3-inch pot. Now, how big a pot should I put it in? Because I know it's tropical. And how much sun does it need?
Okay, so Diplodenia versus mandevilla, they are very, very similar. So yes, lots of sun, full sun, 6 hours minimum daily. You're going to want to provide that. It's in a 3-inch pot. Oof, I'd be getting it at least into a 6 or 8-inch pot, and you're going to keep it outside for the summer. I'm sure you intend to bring it in for the winter, but lots and lots of sun. Fresh potting mix when you pot it up. You will find the smaller the pot, the more often you water. So depending on what size pot you go into, they do want to be kept, they don't want to dry. It's not like a succulent. You want to let them dry, you know, water thoroughly, let them dry, water again. The leaves will tell you when it needs water. They'll get a bit dull from the shininess that you expect. And if you are fertilizing monthly at this time of year, you get all kinds of flowers. And then it's just a matter of bringing it in well before frost and, you know, giving it a nice soap spray or just a good water spray before you bring it in, so you're not bringing in lots of critters at the same time.
Okay, well, I will do. So I think I'll start off with an 8-inch pot then.
All right. And then you'll be good. You won't need to repot it again till maybe next year or maybe the year after.
Okay, thanks a lot, Charlie. Enjoy.
Thanks,
Maureen. Yep. Have a
Happy
great weekend.
Gardening.
Woohoo! And here we are. As you always say, we're like we've run out of racetrack.
I know. I don't know how it happens. We've just craziness. Gone all over the map today.
Yeah.
We've gone tropical plants. We've gone tulips in the fridge. We've gone garlic.
Boxwood, dogwood. Yeah, we got
them all. Garlic being cut down by, you know, strangers in the night. Like, what the...
Love it. You never know what's going to happen here on the Garden Show.
Pardon?
You never know what's going to happen on the Garden Show.
It's every week's a new week. Hey, big happy Father's Day hug to you, Dean.
Thank you. Wish the same to Elliot, please.
Proud daddy of four wonderful children. So yes, good on you. And I salute you for still being a sane individual.
Relatively speaking.
Thank you, Ashy. Couldn't do any of this without you. So appreciate all your help. Great callers. Keep those questions coming. See you again next week.
The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin is brought to you by Urban Nature Store, enhancing the enjoyment and relaxation of wild birding. UrbanNatureStore.ca.
Good morning. I'm Jeremy Logan with your Zoomer Radio News. A sunny day to start your Father's Day weekend, a high of 21. Right now, it's 16 degrees Celsius in Toronto, 61 Fahrenheit. In the news, we begin across the pond, where the pageantry of a royal birthday bash in Britain is underway for King Charles.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.